From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette, and this is Idaho Matters. Earlier this week, Idaho Governor Brad Little signed into law what's been dubbed the Clean Slate Act. The bipartisan legislation allows people with minor, nonviolent, non-sexual offenses to ask to shield their criminal record from public view if they meet certain conditions. Even a conviction for a minor offense can create barriers to things like renting an apartment or finding a job. So joining us today to talk more about this is Minority Leader Elena Rubel, the Boise Democrat who championed the bill. We want to welcome you to Idaho Matters.
Thank you so much. It's always wonderful to join you. And I'm hoping at some point we may be joined by my co-sponsor.
We should say that Senator David Lent, a Republican from Idaho Falls, was your co-sponsor on this. And so let's start there, because I think it's important for people to know, as I mentioned in the beginning, this really was a bipartisan push to get this on the books.
Absolutely. Senator Lent and I have been working together on this for 3 years. So we were just over the moon that it finally all came together this year.
So let's talk about the law itself, because what will it actually do?
Yeah, so it's not expungement. I want to be clear from the get-go. Mm-hmm. There is such a thing as expungement where your record gets, you know, completely wiped off the face of the earth from all databases. We were not able to get that. But what this is sealing from public view. So there will still be a super secret database where offenses reside. So if you reoffend, you know, your next offense will be treated as your second offense, not as your first. But if you don't reoffend, nobody will ever see it. It allows you to petition if you have certain nonviolent, non-sexual offenses, largely misdemeanors, but it also includes low-level drug possession. So if you know you had a one-time marijuana possession charge or something, it would allow you to seal that. If you've completed all of your penalties, your probation, your fees, your fines, all that, and you've gone at least 5 years with no further offenses, you would be eligible to petition to get your record sealed.
Okay, so it does sound like, there are very specific requirements that an individual would have to meet. And pretty tight parameters around getting this wipe clean.
Right. This is definitely not for rapists and murderers, but it does apply to, there's a good amount of stuff on there that I think would be helpful. Mm-hmm. It does include the lowest level of first time DUI. It includes low level, petty theft, shoplifting, disturbing the peace, minor in consumption of alcohol, passing a school bus, all kinds of things are on would be able to seal under this law.
Mm-hmm. So how exactly would the process work? If they meet all of these requirements, does this individual then have to go before a judge, have a hearing, ask for this to be wiped clean? How does that process work?
Yeah. That's a super great question. I learned so much about this process across America as I was working on this bill, and I learned that 42 other states had some mechanism for sealing or expunging your record, and Idaho had nothing. So that really, made me want to address this problem. A lot of states have an automatic roll-off procedure. So Utah and Michigan and Pennsylvania and a number of other states, it just automatically rolls off without you having to ask. Our courts were not comfortable with that. They wanted to have an affirmative petition process where you get a lawyer to actually ask. Now, someday, I'm hoping we can be like those other states and have it happen automatically so that more people can access it without having to hire a lawyer. But one piece of really good news on this, it was kind of funny. I was having lunch one day with Jody Peterson of the Interfaith Alliance talking about this bill because she had so many people at the homeless shelter who couldn't get housing because mm-hmm. of their record. So she was helping on this bill. And she said, well, what about people who don't have money to hire a lawyer? How is this going to help them? And as luck would have it, sitting at the next table was the dean of the University of Idaho Law School. So I said, well, let's just call her over and see if the U of I Law would be interested in starting up a clinic for students to help people petition. Mm-hmm. So we called her over and she was ecstatic about the idea and said that the U of I is going to set up a clinic for those who can't afford lawyers to have volunteer help in preparing those petitions to the court.
So what if there has been a victim in one of these low level crimes? When the crime is wiped clean, will they be notified? Can they testify at a hearing?
Well, I think they would be notified, but the types of offenses that are eligible are those where it would be hard to imagine how there really would be a victim per se.
A
Again, these
victim.
are pretty, because they're nonviolent, non-sexual, they're, it's more sort of societal offenses, like playing your music too loud or something. I suppose you could say that your neighbor was the victim who had to listen to your loud music or something. But, there, in any of the eligible offenses, I don't know that there will be an aggrieved or injured party in quite the sense that you would think of in some other more violent or sexual offenses.
So let's talk about really why you and Senator Lent decided to take this up. And this is the importance of giving people maybe a second chance.
Yes. So this got on my radar a number of years ago, probably 4 or 5 years ago, when a mom in my neighborhood emailed me and said her son had had a marijuana possession charge when he was a freshman and had since totally cleaned up his act, become a straight A student, worked for a couple of years, and now wanted to go to medical school and couldn't because he had this 7-year-old marijuana charge on his record. And she said, is there any way that we could create something to seal that? And I was shocked to learn that there was nothing in Idaho law to seal it. And the more I looked into it, the more shocking it was to find the unbelievable ways in which it messes with people's lives. I had a guy call me from South Korea who'd met the love of his life, but couldn't get a work visa to stay there and marry her because he had an old marijuana charge. People can't be chaperones on their kids' field trips. They can't be foster parents. They can't get jobs. They can't get housing. It was really shocking. There was a national group that compiled all of what they call the collateral consequences of a record, which are the things that come outside of the judicial system. There's the obvious stuff, your sentence, your probation, your parole, that's all judicial. But the other things like, now you can't get a job. Now you don't qualify for housing vouchers. They tabulated over 45,000 collateral consequences across the country of things that befall a person when they have something on their record. And again, this is something that 42 other states have taken on and tried to address. So I felt pretty passionately that we were overdue for taking this on.
Well, and I think you make a good point, right? About like, let's take the example of this, individual in your neighborhood, right? They were a kid. Yeah. They do something like this. I mean, we were all kids. All kids do stupid things. And I think sometimes what a lot of people don't understand too, is that if you have a felony on your record, which in the state of Idaho, marijuana could be that, you can't get any financial aid to go to college. So it could even impede you moving forward, even if, let's say, you have your parents who might be able to help some and all of that. I mean, there are big consequences. I mean, as we mentioned, even things like housing, right? You might not be able to rent an apartment. You might not be able to get a loan to buy a house. There are definite domino effects. And I am assuming that is one of the big reasons why the two of you, you and Senator Lent, were like, you know what? Let's put partisanship aside and let's look at what's maybe truly best for our community.
Absolutely. I mean, again, it was eye-opening just seeing all of the consequences. I mean, an entire family might lose access to housing because one member has even a misdemeanor. I mean, even a misdemeanor on your record can really mess you up. So this really, there was a great study done in Michigan where they studied 21,000 offenders who had had their record set aside. It showed such a sharp uptick in employment and wages and housing. And actually really good news for public safety because it dramatically reduced recidivism because when people can get a job and a house, they're much less likely to reoffend. So it actually, here's a shocking, and I'm sure you have to go to something else, but I was so surprised to find that these folks who had had their records sealed had a lower arrest record going forward than the average member of the public. They're actually safer than the average person on the street.
I think that's really interesting. So let me ask you this then. If an individual goes through this process, they get their record wiped clean, which means, it's not in the public record. But can law enforcement still see this?
Yes. Yes, they can. So as I mentioned, there's still these other super secret databases that are not visible to the public, but that prosecutors and law enforcement can see, and they will have uninhibited view of your record. So again, it's not a full expungement. And so they will know. Mm-hmm. And again, if you commit again, and if you haven't really wiped your, if you haven't really turned over a new leaf, it will come back to haunt you upon a second offense. But as long as you keep it clean, then, the regular public and employers and everybody else will not be able to see it.
And let's reiterate that point, Alana, that, you know, it's not like, you know, one and done, right? Like if you, as you said, if you do not continue to keep your record clean, you don't get to keep this status.
Exactly. You lose your sealing benefits, at least for a felony. You lose your sealing benefits upon any further offenses. And for a misdemeanor, you can lose your sealing. Then you have a chance to petition to keep it. But it all really can come crumbling down if you truly do reoffend. So this really is for people who have really and truly turned over a new leaf.
So it was signed into law this week. Does that mean it's automatically in effect, or do we wait until the start of the fiscal year on July 1?
It had an emergency clause on it. So it went into effect the minute the governor signed it. So if there's anybody listening, and I'm so pleased to be on your show, because for this to work and to really improve people's lives, people need to know this remedy is out there. So if there's mm-hmm. someone in any of your listeners' lives who, you know, if they have a niece, a nephew, themselves, kid, grandkid, anybody who has something on their record that has been messing with their opportunities in life, they can go to an attorney right now and start the petition process to get that record sealed.
Well, thank you for coming on and talking about this, but also the work that you and Senator Lent did on a bipartisan effort to get this move forward and passed.
Thank you for helping us spread the word.
Absolutely. We've been talking with Legislative Minority Leader Alana Rubel about the Clean Slate Act, which was signed into law this week and went into effect. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudet. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is Chip Brantley, co-host of the NPR podcast White Lies. Before we found the man in Vancouver, before we sued the State Department, before we snuck into the graveyard of a federal penitentiary, all we had were the photographs. Photographs of a group of Cuban men standing on the roof of a prison in rural Alabama. That's this season on the NPR podcast, White Lies.